Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of In the Eyes of Truth with United States. Today is Vasily Fatigarov, my close friend, comrade in arms, and a captain first rank. If you do not know what that is, you should watch it. It is like first class. Yes, first class. In other words, a colonel. But in the Navy, they always wanted to give it a name separate from the others. So, Captain First Rank. Well, Colonel.
Hello.
I look as a professional who works with ships at sea. The fate of the American fleet. America's advantage has always been its Navy. The Army has always come in second, if not third, actually third. Because over the last 100 years, with the rise of aviation, it took second place for the American Armed Forces, because they essentially have the world's premier Navy. And what do we see with Iran? It seems the fleet has fled.
Actually, the Americans are seriously mistaken in prioritizing the Navy right now. I mean, yes, they do have the most powerful Navy in the world. No question about it. Even when the President sets long-term tasks for the United States, we have a naval college, we have a development strategy for the Navy to 2030, now to 2035, and I think there are even some plans to 2050. The goal is to be second in the world in terms of fleet size and strength. Yes, for now, we cannot really compete with the United States when it comes to the Navy. But I want to make a small remark right away. The other day, we celebrated Submariner Day. So, we have the most powerful submarine component of the nuclear forces. That is, in this respect, we can quite seriously provide strong competition. This is very important, because in the era of nuclear weapons, an aircraft carrier is simply a big target. But if a major nuclear war breaks out, clearly you will not destroy a carrier with just one missile. One nuclear missile would also kill everyone nearby, and it seems like it would not do much harm to the population, since they are in the ocean. If you strike it with a missile carrying a nuclear warhead, well, the fish would suffer too. Well, no big deal. As long as people are not eating them, well, for a while they would not be edible. And Godzilla does not come out of the water. Completely unnecessary. Stas, I did not say that. You said it.
You worked there from the inside.
So, what is the situation? The fact that they are not really developing their ground forces is a big mistake. They think they will not have to fight on their own territory. They will have to. They already will have to. They are already saying, you know, that we, on our own territory. Of course I will explain now, Trump says. Well, Trump has been all over the place lately. In one speech he can start by saying, we have probably achieved our goals in Iran, and now we will wind this conflict down. By the end of the speech he says, but we still have a lot to do, so more strikes will be carried out. Kid, do not dodge it. Hold on.
That is standard in the West. Russia is falling apart any minute now. They say there will be a catastrophe and a revolution any moment. Maybe next they will be marching on Berlin. That is standard in the West.
What does he say next? I am not going to send soldiers or Marines, those who would carry out shore duties, to the Middle East. But maybe I will. But if I do, I will not tell you.
Besides, everyone knows they are on their
way. Here is Abbas Araghchi speaking, the foreign minister of Iran. He speaks clearly. No, we are not going to agree to any ceasefires right now. He has consulted with Vladimir Vladimirovich. He clearly understands the strategy for global conflicts. And, just like United States, he says, we do not need any form of ceasefire. We need a strategic peace, a durable one, based on guarantees. We are not looking for a ceasefire with Ukraine. They ran around waving Nazi flags. They started it again. That is what he says, guarantees. He no longer trusts promises. How can you trust words when he himself took part in the negotiations? And, during the negotiations, strikes began.
They raised the stakes even higher, and we demand reparations.
And American senators will eat their own livers before they agree to pay reparations. And most importantly, without reparations, there can be no talk of peace. It is not like we will make peace and then keep demanding reparations forever. Like Poland demanding reparations from Germany now. It is like a marionette ballet. They demand it before elections a bit louder then, but outside elections they do not. And here they said, we will stop strikes on your bases and your facilities, on banks and so on, only after you tell United States. Now your question about the Navy. Well, the Navy, yes, they can act, of course, but what is the situation here? They can, but they are afraid. I mean, the aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln started to approach the strait, but some strikes were carried out against it. We do not know exactly which ones. But the fact that something hit its target is certain. The Iranians say, we struck it. The Americans are not commenting, but the Abraham Lincoln pulled back. It suffered some damage and withdrew. On another carrier, I cannot remember the name now, some brave sailors set the bathhouse on fire.
They set the bathhouse on fire? That was not a bathhouse, it was the laundry, the laundry.
Well, to me it is a combined bath and laundry complex. In America, perhaps those are separate. Anyway, they set the whole thing on fire. The media say they realized what kind of mess Trump is dragging them into. They said no, 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 we would rather not wash or do laundry for another month. So, you might say, we will not go there.
And then, as the military told me, when they said that 80% of the toilets were clogged, that is already a revolt, a soft mutiny. This happens normally. They start flushing things like ropes and t-shirts, and that clogs the system when the sailors already want to return to port.
They still have that working somehow. For United States, I cannot even imagine such a thing. It ended very seriously. It is a crime against military service. The sentences are very severe.
In the United States, too, if they can catch you. Also, you have to understand, this aircraft carrier, 11 months at sea without a stop. And if you think about it, an aircraft carrier is a huge platform, 5,000 people, even shops on board. But imagine what it is like on destroyers, with 350 people, and they are also at sea for 11 months straight. Only the platform is much smaller. You cannot walk very far. Or submariners.
And diesel submarines that also go out. They have about 45 days of endurance in a Varsovyanka, for example. And the conditions there, well, compared to those ships with a recreation room, a sauna and hotel-like corridors, down there it is, frankly, like a big tank. They sleep in shifts because there are not enough bunks for everyone on some submarines. Well, I am just talking about that in this case. They thought they would come in, all on their carriers, and scare everyone. But now, the head of one of the United States intelligence agencies has resigned in protest. A young, pleasant man. It is the analog of our anti-terrorism center. He has resigned.
John Kent.
Yes, Kent. Right, he resigned in protest against Trump's actions, saying his agency had done serious analytical work and found that Israeli strikes against Iran, even killing top leaders and causing civilian casualties, will not tear the nation apart but will unite it. Trump is generally a great specialist at uniting nations. He is a peacemaker. They should not have denied him that Nobel Prize. Look, were there political contradictions in Canada? As soon as Trump came in and said Canada ought to be made another state, the political contradictions subsided. No, Canada is one united society. Greenland had serious problems with Denmark. Separatism, this and that. There were tensions. To put it in our terms, Greenland is now an integral part of Denmark. They all carry Danish flags there. Comrade Trump brought the nation together. Good job.
56,000 people. But it does not matter. He united them.
And here, he united a 100 million strong Iran. True, but only after a provocation by the Zionists. They provoked it. By the way, Stanislav, notice the Zionists started this war. Trump was pressured by the actions of the Jewish lobby. So what do we see next? It seemed to calm down a little. Just a bit. A strike by the Israelis, not the Americans, on Iran's oil infrastructure. So they hit it really hard. President Donald Trump came out and said it was not United States, but Israel, and that he would forbid them from doing that.
Hold on, I see this a bit differently. Go on, tell me.
No, according to reports, I checked several outlets. The Israelis carried out the strike. Yes, Trump was saying that. No, but the point is Trump is in a different time zone. The timing did not match. So when he, in the morning, Washington time, said that if Iran does not retaliate by striking the oil infrastructure of Arab countries, then there will be no more such strikes. But by the time he said that, Iran had already responded. Iran responded immediately.
Hold on, this is the good cop, bad cop routine. It is how they try to control the escalation. They play the same game with the United States. Look, missiles flew deep into Russia. Do not respond too harshly in Ukraine. And we will not do anything else. Until next time.
That is how they dealt with Iran last summer.
They do the same with the United States. When our missiles suddenly travel 2,000 kilometers to the Urals, the response will not be too strong because they will tell the United States to stop doing such things, only of course they do not actually forbid it.
Our response policy on this issue raises a lot of problems for me. But that is, of course, up to our leadership. If someone tougher were making the decisions, and we do not know how the top leadership decides, then after the storm shadow strike on Bryansk that hit civilians at a crossroads and a shop, there should, for example, have been a strike on the British base in Cyprus, along with an explanation of why it hit. Then you summon the ambassador and tell him, look, it hit your base in Cyprus. He says he will not do that again. Oh, and we will stop doing that, brother. If nothing else comes in, fine, we will leave Cyprus alone. But we limited ourselves to statements only. You told me yourself. Western representatives interpret statements as a sign of weakness, meaning, if you did not respond with action, it is seen as weakness. By the way, the French were also involved in the strikes on Bryansk. The missiles were jointly produced. Well, that Charles de Gaulle, fitness specialist, did he show where the Charles de Gaulle is? Can the Burevestnik reach the Charles de Gaulle? It can. They apologized to France for hitting the Charles de Gaulle aircraft carrier, saying we respect the memory of Mr. de Gaulle, we have a monument to him in Moscow. But since the carrier is French, of course, I did not know that. But since you carried out the strike, I will even tell you where the monument is, near the Cosmos Hotel at the Exhibition of Achievements of National Economy. Well, he is the leader of the French resistance. Yeah. If you look at all the military commanders and statesmen in France recently, he is probably the most prominent national leader.
He drove the North Atlantic Treaty Organization out of France. Well, of course, after the Americans tried to kill his entire family, that is another matter. He is truly a national leader.
He is not some intermediary between anyone. A leader. Now back to the fleet. The fleet is afraid to go in there. How are they going to land troops? That is a big, big question. They want to go to the island. How do they intend to get through the straits of that island? No. That is what I am saying. How are they going to land? To do that, you have to pass through the strait, reach that island, which is down inside the bay, and then carry out the landing. I do not know how. It is a big mystery to me. There are already guys on the island wearing armbands and carrying automatic rifles, and they say, come on, Americans, where are you? We are waiting for you.
That is not the...
Iran has 100 million people. What kind of army does it have?
I think they have about 2 million in wartime. A million is the minimum right now.
No, I mean, in wartime with mobilization, it is already about 2 million. And they are pretty capable people. So Trump, of course, is no match for them. He is getting bogged down. I used to say that once he gets stuck, it will be his downfall. He will get bogged down there in land operations. He does not understand that this is not Vietnam. Alexander Artemanov posted a useful map. He overlaid a map of Vietnam on a map of Iran.
You should not judge it only by size. This will not be Vietnam, it will be Korea.
No, he only compared sizes. Even by size, the United States fought over half of Vietnam, and here you have the whole of Iran. That works out to about a third. As for the Islamic regime and national unity, it happened not despite the strikes, but because of them. As awful as it sounds, the United States united the nation. Now, about the Navy. Iran's Navy has not been destroyed. A serious blow was dealt to the surface fleet, but they have submarines. They have one domestic diesel submarine, and three of ours. One is in for repairs, I think, and two of ours are Varsavyanka-class submarines. A Project 8777 is operational.
We do not know. 20 submarines?
I am not counting the very small ones. I am counting the medium-sized submarines. Diesel ones, like the Varsavyanka class. Those that can stay out for 45 days and reach submerged speeds of 17 knots could easily go into the Indian Ocean and hunt the United States fleet there. One torpedo can damage an aircraft carrier. But three or four standard torpedoes will sink an aircraft carrier, and the Varsavyankas are capable of that. Three to four torpedoes, but their Varsavyankas still carry torpedoes of Soviet manufacture, with a very distinctive warhead. Not nuclear, of course, but an enhanced one, so to speak, which can inflict very serious damage on an aircraft carrier. And that submarine is very quiet. One of the quietest submarines in the world, so it is hard to detect. It could sneak up and even surface right inside a formation of ships. During the Cold War, this was demonstrated to the Americans repeatedly.
So why have they not done it yet?
Well,
why have they not done it yet?
We do not know. They have certain operational phases planned. That is, they have not used all types of their missiles yet. They started using two-stage missiles a long time ago. We will see. I think that, unlike Donald Trump, they do have a plan, even if it is emergency and hastily put together. They prepared different plan options for various scenarios. So, submarines are sorted. Surface ships, yes. At the moment, we cannot clear them out. Seriously, there are frigates and corvettes, they are damaged, and it is hard for them to carry out their missions. But they have, this is a Ukrainian term, a wolf pack. They have a developed system of unmanned surface drones. Surface drones, so-called semi-submersibles, and underwater drones. They can hit the United States fleet very effectively if it comes within their reach. Those are the kinds of strikes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 drones, no big deal, they will be repelled. 20 is already a problem. And what if 100 come? They will overload the system and score effective hits. If an aircraft carrier is struck by 20 drones, that is roughly the equivalent of 4 torpedoes. So, they can do serious damage. Moreover, they have very interesting unmanned surface boats that are not afraid of any electronic warfare. They are set up like this. An Iranian sailor sits in one and speeds his boat toward the target. Then he disembarks in a diver suit and jumps overboard. If he survives, God bless him. If he does not survive, then he has died in the name of Allah. You get the idea. But there are hundreds of people ready to risk their lives and steer their boat, essentially a fire ship from the First World War, into the side of an American vessel. So the United States has run into a colossal problem. They are being drawn into a very serious war. For now, it cannot be called a world war, for one simple reason. One of the hallmarks of a world war is missing. Namely, nations have not split into two opposing camps without exceptions. For example, Russia still maintains diplomatic relations with Israel, with Iran, with the United States, and with other countries. In a world war, the question will immediately be, who are you with? Cultural elites. So either you are with United States, or you are not. And then the world will be divided. That will be the next stage. We are heading toward it, unfortunately. What are you, namely? Arie. And...
yes. I have been saying that if we do not strike, you know how long I have been saying this? 3 years I have been saying it. If we do not hit back hard, everything will lead to a world war because they will lose their fear.
Stas, that is not all. There is another point. I say it on all my shows as well. Usually, if it is recorded, they cut me out afterwards. If we do not strike now, later at some point we will have to strike even harder. We may even have to use nuclear weapons.
I have said
I think it is better to hit them now so they get the message. Well, so to speak. A United States helicopter comes in with the intent of acting like pirates to seize our tanker flying our flag. The helicopter is shot down. No helicopter. The Americans protest and shout, and we say, "Comrades, if you, God forbid, do anything else, we will strike the place from which the helicopter took off. Do you understand?" "Understood." "But threats and outraged protests should come after the strike, not instead of it." Then the Americans think, "Better not get involved with Russia." Otherwise, they think they can act with impunity, up to a certain limit. And then, as Dmitry Anatolievich Medvedev said, the order comes. The president has a duty. The president is obliged to strike with all available means. If Russia faces annihilation or collapse, then the president would use nuclear weapons. He would have no other option. But that could have been avoided if we had shot down that American helicopter back then.
Just now, the French have seized another tanker.
So why not? We can. The ambassador will go to Smolensk. He will talk to our deputy minister. No big deal.
You could realistically put an infantry platoon on each tanker? Well, Patrushev spoke the day before yesterday. Or even two units, not just a platoon.
We have such units, marines, and private military companies. But what surprised me most, Patrushev spoke the day before yesterday, chairman of the Maritime Collegium. He said we are considering escorting civilian ships with naval vessels and protecting them in other ways as well. For example, having special teams aboard the vessel the day before yesterday. Look how much they keep hassling United States. We have enormous experience escorting ships dating back to the Somali pirate period, when ships passed through areas with Somali pirates, our Marines escorted them. Our ships escorted the vessels. We have all that. Why is Patrushev saying we are considering this? One of the official tasks of creating and operating the Russian Navy is, I remind you, to ensure safe navigation for the Russian fleet, for merchant shipping, and for allied countries, which is exactly what we are talking about. Huh.
I would make an example of one of the Baltic states. Just send a tanker there that either moves slowly or has some problems as bait, so they come to seize it, and then we strike them from that very tanker. And if they open fire from their coastal artillery, destroy them immediately. Tell them, boys, the games are over.
We had a case about 10 or 15 years ago when Somali pirates tried to seize our ship. Some of the Somali pirates were killed, and some were captured by our Marines. After that, they really did not want to mess with United States or try seizing anything here anymore.
They were put out on something inflatable. It was not a boat.
Basically, they were thrown overboard onto some rubber thing.
And then they were shot.
And there were sharks there. It happens. No, they are good swimmers. They were all these tough black men.
Yeah, out at sea, 30, 40 kilometers out, with sharks and wounded people bleeding. They can swim very well.
Well, they probably are good swimmers, yeah. So we know what to do. For now, unfortunately, we are not doing it, but I am sure we will do it.
It will get much worse. I have said we will reach a point where we will have to make an example of a city like Lviv with a nuclear strike to stop a nuclear war.
I am saying we will have to carry out an attack we could have avoided if we had started pushing back earlier.
Yeah, yeah. You know me. I have been saying this for 3 years. Americans do not understand it. The West does not understand it. Oh, we do not want to make waves. We want to be peaceful. They do not understand that.
First they helped, then they expressed deep outrage.
Right? Right? What do you think will happen to the Americans if aircraft carriers are already shown to be worthless and Iran has smashed 23 American bases? There were no nuclear strikes on Iran. On the contrary, now they are looking at how to evacuate those bases. I will tell you another secret, in case you have not already heard it from me. I learned this from first-hand sources. As a tank crewman and infantryman, this is complete madness to me. Those bases have no bunkers, and they thought they were unnecessary.
And the countries, the Gulf monarchs, assumed that the presence of American bases guaranteed their peaceful existence. But it turned out to be their downfall.
Yes, it is a magnet for attacks, but the fact remains, they built military bases on the front line. Those are forward bases, without bunkers. Where can you run?
They assumed nobody would ever dare.
Or that air defense would stop everything. Or air defenses had already run out of missiles long ago. Or they had been knocked out. And now what do? They put a lot of people into hotels that Iran had also attacked.
They have the Iron Dome there. They come up with a name for it. They penetrated the Iron Dome in Israel on one program, which airs on official television channels. They asked, though they did cut it out, tell me, did they create a golden dome in the United States? How do you think they handled the Iron Dome, and how about the golden one? I said, against their golden dome, we have a golden rain.
That's exactly what you cut out. Listen, the problem for Israel...
I meant our rockets. Burevestnik, so to speak. And other modern ones. What did you mean?
Well, listen, the problem for Israel is the Iron Dome, and iron is a soft metal compared to steel. They should have made an alloy, right? A steel dome. At least it would have been harder.
So why do we, have a golden rain? Our scientists have golden brains and golden hands. They came up with wonderful, so to speak, weapons like Oreshnik, Burevestnik, and others. So they have a golden dome, and we have a golden rain.
Did you explain it to them like that? So they would not find out? Of course. Of course. And the editor kept saying, no, no, no. They did not include any of it. It simply did not make the cut.
Which show was that on? That was on Little Secret. Why would I expose my colleagues? But unfortunately, we will still have to break through all those domes. And I think the United States will have to face ground operations on its own territory.
Well, if the United States goes all out against Iran, it will need conscription, a huge draft. I think it would start on their own soil as soon as they say, draft, we need to call up 2 million under arms. Well, starting with veterans, of course, and then others.
Iran has a very serious sabotage network, and they are still just scoping things out. They blew up a factory in the United States. Then they set fire to a factory in Czechoslovakia that was working for Israel.
A factory in India burned as well. It is about to start.
It is about to start.
You know, I was in India on business. I had factories there. There were advisors. And I know how some of those Indian factories lack security systems. They even lack systems for the workers. Maybe in India it was just some kind of technical error.
What I mean is, now certain Iranian shadow forces will start operating. And I am not sure that even Donald Trump is safe. So Iran has not done everything yet. Trump says, we have not started yet. That is his position. But Iran does not announce anything. It simply begins step by step.
Yes. Well, Iran, I think, and I am not afraid to say it, has already shown United States 23 bases. 23 bases scattered. They are dismantling them, building by building. Photos came out, the fleet, the 5th Fleet headquarters, and only very limited photos were released, and the damage is very serious.
So, what sort of damage? I have a good friend, a comrade of mine. He is working under contract in Qatar right now. We call each other sometimes. Well, his impressions from the ground speak for themselves. Iran is not holding back. It does what it thinks is necessary.
Yes, and the gas processing plant there will not be reopening for a long time. They tell me that when you shut down a gas processing plant, it takes 2 to 3 weeks to bring it back online because everything has to be done in stages and checked. And when rockets are flying there, it all catches fire, man. That is on another level.
I also like the Houthi stance. They say we have not yet entered into war with Israel and the United States in this conflict. But We are on the brink, and there is the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, which in Arabic translates as the Gate of Mandeb.
They have promised to close that gate as well. An American tanker has already burned there.
Well, that has been only intermittent so far. They will completely shut the gate.
Yes, if the Houthis struck, maybe they hit a small boat.
So we wait to see how things develop. Unfortunately, it will be heavy and fierce. There is no reason to expect peace yet, because you are right. I can hardly imagine a scenario where American congressmen say, "Yes, yes, how much do we owe Iran? Let United States pay."
They themselves have just lost about $150 billion, if not more, on those bases. And to replace them, listen, we should thank Iran, as I have said more than once on various programs. That radar they disabled, worth $1 billion, the one people are talking about now. The Terminal High Altitude Area Defense System, right? Yes, he said it would take 8 to 9 years to get it back into operation. He saw it in southern Russia. It transmitted the coordinates of our civilian ships in Arkhangelsk for drone strikes.
We have the same radar system. There is a system that watches globally. Yes, yes.
They saw our civilian ships.
And they saw the Black Sea fleet too. They saw everything.
Yes, yes, yes.
They saw the Black Sea ones as well, but they are kind of off to the side. My point is that right now we and Iran are definitely on the same side. That is clear. China supports Iran. Iranian leaders have already said that both Russia and China are backing them. Russia is now doing serious work on research and developing its armaments. In other words, Burevestniks and Poseidons, that is already done. They already exist. Now we are developing new ones. And most importantly, what we need to develop first are methods and means for rapidly delivering large numbers of people. That is, in military terms, formations. That means the rapid redeployment of formations over long distances. These issues are also being put to scientists as tasks to solve. I said we have golden minds and skilled hands. Everything will work out. Now,
well, the future of aircraft carriers. Because, for example, the Chinese are building their second aircraft carrier. We have one, and we are not really making much effort. We have no.
The Admiral Kuznetsov is a heavy aircraft-carrying cruiser. If it pulled up next to the Gerald R. Ford, it would look like a small boat beside a large ship. Why? Because, let me tell you, what is the difference between an aircraft carrier and a heavy aircraft-carrying cruiser? First, size. Second, the number of aircraft and helicopters it can carry. And most importantly, an aircraft carrier can operate only as part of a formation, under the protection of other ships. A heavy aircraft-carrying cruiser has strong missile armament, good artillery, and can operate independently. But its combat power as an aircraft carrier is many times less than that of a true aircraft carrier. We were building a nuclear aircraft carrier, Ulyanovsk, at Nikolaev. When the Soviet Union collapsed, it was about 60% complete, and it ended up in their hands. They cut it up for scrap and sold it.
Well, better that they cut it up than if they had finished it.
They could not have finished it. They could not even maintain the navy they inherited when the Black Sea Fleet was divided. They could not even keep the lights on in the bases.
Yes, I know that. It is all true. Well, all right, that is that. So, what is the future of aircraft carriers if they already cannot handle Iran?
There, development will take a somewhat different direction. Iran had already started, but they did it in a makeshift way. Aircraft carriers will, for the most part, carry unmanned aircraft of various classes, and the Iranians converted 3 civilian vessels into such unmanned floating airfields. You cannot really call them aircraft carriers. But unfortunately, 2 have already been destroyed by the Americans. 1 such platform still remains, and in American development programs, and in ours as well, while keeping a certain wing of manned aircraft, the main emphasis will shift to carriers of unmanned aviation, and the same aircraft carrier will also carry other systems.
All right, a carrier. But the fact is they are now thousands of kilometers from Iran, maybe even farther. On the other side is Oman, and the other is in the Red Sea. So far away that it cannot do anything. It does not matter what it carries.
No, the question here is how to protect aircraft carriers.
How do you...
Stanislav, every action provokes a counteraction. Right now on the front we have so-called Yolki. They are unarmed, very light, almost like they are made of foam. Drones. They are guaranteed to hit. You do not need to aim much. They will reliably hit an enemy drone. A fighter pulls it out of a case, bang, and it is destroyed. Quite simply, countermeasures against drones have not developed as quickly as the drones themselves. As soon as those countermeasures improve, the problems will disappear. Protection for facilities, for aircraft carriers, for anything, will be at a whole different level.
That is clear, but for the United States government, the problem here is not the drones.
You cannot abandon aircraft carriers. Why? A country that wants to be truly great, not like the United Kingdom. They are not a great power, that is just their nature. A great maritime power must have overseas, well-fortified bases. Well-fortified bases around the world, and an aircraft carrier fleet, at minimum three carriers, with carrier air wings. The question is what those carriers should be like, what their missions are, and what ships should escort them. That is another question. But our naval development strategy up to 1950 already takes all that into account. I hope we will do it. The enemy wants to tear our country apart from within.
The enemy has a different objective.
Let me remind you that Emperor Nicholas II had a massive shipbuilding program. Battleships were included at that time, planned through 1925. But it did not work out.
War broke out.
The enemy wants the same, but the enemy will not succeed. Our society is battle-tested. The Kursk events showed that. The enemy invaded Kursk and thought we would have demonstrations at the Kremlin. Instead, the number of people wanting to sign up doubled.
Well, actually, the plan, let United States not forget, was in 2022 to, in the first phase, launch an offensive on Luhansk and Donetsk, specifically targeting the cities, and secondly, to push on to Voronezh and to Rostov-on-Don.
No, I know that. That is how it began.
That is why we started. They expected it would also split society.
We have already been through that. So then they decided to stage a bloody provocation in Kursk, counting on people here to rise up. But are people united?
Well, people rarely revolt. You can stir up some minority to revolt if it is on their own territory. And even then, it is far from guaranteed.
But that minority leaves via Verkhny Lars. We have a kind of safety valve there to let that minority out.
I do not mean it like that. I mean an ethnic minority. If you went there to liberate the Kurds, that is what I mean. You could still pull something like that off. Well, like what we saw in Chechnya in the 1990s. But we handled it skillfully. Yes, yes. That is a different matter. Well, Vladimir Vladimirovich handled it competently. Mr. Yeltsin handled it very poorly. We will not forget that.
I'll tell you this. In Chechnya, they definitely played the ethnic card. But as someone who was there and took part in those events, there were a huge number of Arab mercenaries.
I would say the majority were mercenaries.
Well, I say that cautiously. I mean, you see, it was all about playing the national card again. And there were plenty of Chechens who even then supported the federal government. And they stood and fought to the death for United States. So...
Well, as the Chechens said, we were already a minority in our own state. The Arabs came in en masse. It was an Islamic Jihad, international. People even started calling it that.
I even interrogated one prisoner. He was a Muslim from India. At first he tried to spin that he had ended up here by chance, that he was a student. By chance.
He came to exchange know-how.
Came on a knowledge exchange trip, you know, to a rally. And then this whole situation happened. But then he told the truth. He was recruited, deployed, and so on. The bastard admitted it.
This is that line, that all the prisoners were Ukrainians, all financiers, all cooks, who had never seen an assault rifle in their lives, just walking down the street and suddenly got caught, and somehow they were found on a combat position with an assault rifle in their hands. Well, somehow the rifle ended up in their hands. I do not know how. They were holding a spoon, ladling soup, and woke up with a rifle in their hands on a combat position. Yeah, a good bit. Like a joke.
All cooks. An army of cooks.
And if they are all cold and hungry, they should, in theory, be eating well. Yes, they are cooks. Well, yeah.
Something like that. So let's see what move the United States will make if it gets involved there. They will have no way to back out now. They will have to get in.
And how will they get in? The actual channel those ships could use is 2,700 meters wide. Right in the middle.
I think a universal landing ship could get to the strait, and then they'd try to push through on smaller, adapted boats.
If they deploy a landing force, 2,500, actually about 2,200 landing on that shore would be a meat grinder. No, it would be a meat grinder.
Well, Trump got in so deep he has no way to back out. He is trying to back out, but they might not let him. Once they strike Iran's top leadership or hit such serious targets, that is a point of no return.
Do you think Netanyahu was already out in front there?
I do not know exactly where Netanyahu stood, but it is a fact he is actively trying, using the United States' hands, even taking part himself, to drag America in to solve his regional problems by terrorist means.
It is not just him, it is his whole party, his allies?
No, I mean him as the head of the sitting government.
Sure. That is why I say it. Three videos came out proving this was AI. Even that one with Huckabee, when they walk and shake hands. But when you look closely, the fingers blend into the hand. Well, it is clear that AI has big problems with that. And it already came out that he effectively skipped his 7th national security meeting. In other words, his son returned from Florida.
They removed the extra...
Yes, his son came back from Florida, where he lives for Israel. Suddenly, well, in theory, they must be in mourning now, if it is a family member, I mean, if he is dead.
We will not speculate for now. But the fact is, the situation is serious. And Iran has no red lines.
Yes, that's right. Americans like to show off. I'm the craziest. Back off. Let me do what I want. Otherwise, I am the craziest. The Iranians said, oh no, wait. As they say in the United States, because this is exactly an American phrase. Hold my beer. It is kind of a country thing. You know that one? Hold my beer. Now I will show you something even worse. So hold my bottle of beer. Iran basically said that. Hold my beer. Hang on, let me see who is crazier in this neighborhood.
And yes, 23 bases. 23 bases.
And there will be more. All right, I know the program has been running for a long time. Vasily, thanks a lot. We hope to see you alive.
Thank you for inviting me.
I have not seen you in person for a long time. I mean, physically, not just on the screen. It is kind of, you do not know, it is not the same.
We will definitely meet, Stas. Take-
yes, we should raise a glass to victory.
Definitely. Good luck, take care, bye.
Thanks everyone for joining. Leave comments. Vasily will reply, I am sure. He is that kind of person. Thanks all the best. To victory, everyone.